Today on Real Radio.
It was discovered in archaeology. What date was it? March 14th, 445 BC. You see, so what? This is the so what.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his series on the parables of Jesus. We've been looking at a section in Matthew's gospel that takes a look at events that take place during the time in which you and I are living right now, the Messianic Age. In fact, Pastor Jack has made this into a mini-series because of its importance, and he has emphasized we absolutely must pay attention to Bible prophecy. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now, continuing in his series of lessons called The Parable of the Fig Tree.
And get your highlighter ready. Jesus sets the key interpretive setting for Matthew 24 in the parable of the fig tree. Daniel chapter 9, beginning at verse 21, Daniel is speaking. Yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, the angel Gabriel, looks like a man, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reached me about the time of the evening offering. That's 3 o'clock in the afternoon for a Jew. And he informed me and talked with me and said to me, are you guys there? I can hear Bibles turning still. You there? Oh, Daniel, I have now come forth to give you skill to understand. At the beginning of your supplications, the command went out, and I have come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved. Therefore, consider the matter and understand the vision. Verse 24, get your highlighter ready. 70 weeks or 70 sevens are determined, preset. For your people, Daniel was a Jew, Hebrew, right? Who's his people? The Jewish people. And for your holy city, what would that be? If you're Jewish, what's your holy city? Jerusalem. And here's the key. Number one, to finish transgressions. Two, to make an end of sins. Three, make reconciliation for iniquity. Four, to bring in everlasting righteousness. Five, to seal up vision and prophecy. Six, to anoint the most holy. Verse 25, know therefore, do you hear any wiggle room in that? It's a command. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks, or 7 times 7, and 62 weeks, that would be 7 times 62. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublesome times or under difficult circumstances. Verse 26, but after the 62 weeks, the Messiah shall be cut off, killed. Listen, don't raise your hand, but are you Jewish tonight? Daniel prophesied that the Messiah of Israel would be killed. That goes against everything that a Jew is taught today. And yet, that's exactly what the Hebrew scriptures say. He shall be cut off or killed, but not for himself. And the people of the prince who is to come, this is the one who commits the abomination of desolation, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end shall be with a flood. The word is army, not flood with water. Will be with a war, an army. Till the end of the war, desolations are determined. Then he shall confirm, that is the prince that's to come, not the Messiah, but the prince. He shall confer a covenant with many for what?
1 week.
Now, don't let the word week mess you up. It's hepstad in Hebrew. It simply means 1/7. Seven minutes, 7 hours, 7 days, seven weeks. It's, we know now from prophecy being fulfilled that 1 week, the word means one seven-year period of time. You'll see this in a moment. And I hope your hair just stands up in a good way. But he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. But in the middle of the week, in the half of a seven, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering, and on the wing of abomination shall be, listen, one who makes desolate. Translation, what does that mean? The abomination of desolation. Matthew 24, verse 15. You said, Pastor Jack, what in the world did I just read? This is what you just read. In a moment, I'm going to put this up on the screen for you in simplicity. Watch this. And I wrote this down, paraphrasing it. Watch this. Imagine God is now speaking to you or to Daniel. I will deal with you, Israel, regarding a special period of time totaling 490 years, the 70 weeks of Daniel. This is the tremendous Holy of Holies of Bible prophecy. 70 sevens turns out to be 490 years. Those years will come to you clearly and in exact way. You won't have to guess, but I will require of you to pay close attention to the age and to the time, to the culture of your day. The first phase will be like this. It will begin with the restoration project under Nehemiah, the Nehemiah in your Bible, in Jerusalem. The project will take, here's the answer to the first equation, 49 years. And that's exactly what happened in history. Then after the second phase will occur, which will add an additional 434 years. Don't worry, I'm going to put it on the screen in a moment. That equals 483 years. When you put 49 plus 434 together, it's 483 years. Remember, the prophecy was 490 years. God is going to deal in a special way regarding Israel. Watch this. But after the 434th year segment, the portion, has come to an end, then the Messiah shall come for the first time to Jerusalem. He will be killed. Then some 2,000 years will pass until the end of days comes. Those last remaining days are made up of a final period of time of 7 years. They will be the worst of all. They will be the great tribulation period, which will complete the prophecy given to Daniel. That's a paraphrased rendering. Let's look at it on the screen. Guys, put that slide up, and you're going to need to write this down. How do you unlock Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 to 27, which is the key to understanding Bible prophecy? And I hope for some of you, gives you a tremendous vitamin B shot regarding faith in your scripture. The equation given regarding the 7 weeks and the 62 weeks and all works out to this. 49 years plus the 434 years. So listen, 7 times 7 is how much? 49. 7 times 62 is 434. Do you see that? Can you see that in your head? Somebody say yes. Yes. 7 times 7 is 49. That's what the angel told Daniel. Then he said, hey, Daniel, what's 7 times 62? Daniel went, 7 times 62 is 434. And the angel said, at the end of the second segment of mathematical equations, the first segment is 7 times 7. And then the second segment, the second part of your problem you have to work out, is the 62 times 7. That's the 434 part. At the end of the second segment, the Messiah will be cut off. The Messiah is going to die. When you put 49 and 434 together, you come out to 483 years. You say, well, who cares? We care. I'll tell you the reason why. 483 years from March 14th, 445 BC, write it down. We taught on this recently in the Palm Sunday, by the way. On March 14th, 445 BC, a day known in history, King Artaxerxes turned to his cupbearer. He was so trusted that the king didn't eat any food until this guy ate some food, ate the food, and the king didn't drink any wine until this guy drank the wine, and if that guy fell over dead, then the king didn't drink the wine or eat the food. The king's cupbearer was a guy by the name of Nehemiah, and you have his book in your Bible, Nehemiah. The king turns to Nehemiah and says, I don't like how sad you are. I love you, man. You're a great guy. My life is dependent upon you. Why are you so bummed out? And he said, King, live forever. Don't kill me for being sad. But how can I be glad? He said, what do you mean? My city, my homeland is in ruin. The walls have been burned. The gates have been destroyed. The city is in rubble. Jerusalem is laid waste. And as a Jew, that's our identity. And I cannot smile anymore. And the king was so bummed. He said, you know what, Nehemiah? By official decree, I will fund the rebuilding of Jerusalem. I will give you letters of supply and transport. You can go through all the countries back to your country, and I'll give you safe passage on my own word. I'll fund the whole thing, and when you're done, you just make sure you come back. And Nehemiah went, oh my goodness, this is amazing. And he went, and you ought to read the book of Nehemiah to move your heart, because he surveys the walls when he arrives on horseback, and it's amazing. That decree was not only declared in the Bible, but any skeptic in the house, it was discovered in archaeology. What date was it? March 14th, 445 BC. You see, so what? This is the so what. From March 14th, 445 BC, the decree goes out. It's wrapped up in the 49-year factor. It's given. Nehemiah leaves, and Jerusalem is in a reconstruction process. Then, the 62 times 7 is the 483. Nehemiah is now long dead. Daniel has got this recorded. It's in the Jewish writings. When you put those together and you come out to the 483rd year, it just so happens, listen, that according to the biblical calendar, from Genesis to Revelation, my dear friend, your biblical calendar, your Bible, when it gives dates, are not dates given on a 365-day calendar. That's a Greek calendar. You and I live off of a Greek pagan calendar. The Jews live off a 360-day calendar. 360, not 365. From March 14th, 445 BC, in a 360-day year, you come to the year 483 years down the road. From March 14th, 445 BC, 483 years in a 360-day calendar is 173,880 days. 173,880 days. Some of you are like going, I'm going to go to sleep now. Well, here's the punchline. Wake up. Here it is. From March 14th, 445 BC, 173,880 days is 483 years. You land on a day. It happens to be a Sunday. It happens to be April. It happens to be April 6th, 32 AD, the day that Jesus came into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. Jesus and Matthew 23 held every Jew responsible to know that day. And he said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, if you had only recognized this thy day, the joy that was before you, but now it's taken from you, all because you did not recognize the day of your visitation. He held them accountable to know, not the week, not the month, not the year, the day. Every Jew could have gotten up on Palm Sunday, and maybe many did, maybe many of them did, but you could have gotten up that Sunday as a Jew on Palm Sunday, 32 AD, you could have gotten up that day and got your kids dressed and said, kids, we're going to go down, we're going to go to Jerusalem because we're going to meet the Messiah today. And Jesus held them accountable to know it. That should have been a big wow factor for you. That is the fulfillment of literally the first coming of Christ. The first coming of Jesus was not Bethlehem. That's where he was born. His official arrival to the nation was when he allowed himself to be worshipped as king. Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, fulfilling Psalm 118. The clothes and the palm branches are laid down on the path. Jesus is riding on the back of a donkey, fulfilling Zechariah 9:9. And every Jew who knew their Bible, Jesus held them accountable to know the scriptures. What's my point? He's going to hold you and I exactly accountable to know the same scriptures. You want to sleep through this? To your own peril. You want to go to a church that won't talk about this stuff? To your own peril. We don't talk about future stuff because it's just confusing and then... We're supposed to know it. You see, why should I know it? Because if God keeps his promises to the nth degree, he will also keep his promise to present you faultless before his presence in glory. He will keep the same promise to make sure that you enter heaven born again. He will make sure that you experience all that he's promised. Listen, it's Bible prophecy that gives you the assurance that God keeps his word. Outside, you remove Bible prophecy from your Bible, you have no guarantee that God keeps his word. None. You have no hope of God keeping his word if there's no Bible prophecy. None. That's why Jesus said, I've told you these things in advance, that when it happens, you will believe. That's why this is so vitally important. Jesus said, when you see that wicked imposter standing in the holy place who commits the abomination of desolation, in Matthew 24, Jesus says, for those of you who are alive at that time, when you see that happen, you better come down from your housetop, you better run into the wilderness, and you better pray that you're not nursing baby because that'll slow you down, and you better hope that Jerusalem, it doesn't snow that day because that will slow you up. He's speaking specifically to the Jewish people. It's absolutely awesome. Regarding the fig tree and the last day's events, Jesus says, watch and be ready. Mark this down. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul is anointed by the Holy Spirit to speak about the future. And here's the amazing thing. I'm going to give you a 2,000-year-old scripture passage. You're right now in the 21st century, and what he's speaking about, listen, has not yet happened, but I can tell you this right now. I'd love to, let me tell you, if I was a billionaire, I'd get this whole Wednesday night church service on airplanes, and we would go on over to Jerusalem. I could take you to the Temple Institute. Why? Because they have reconstructed in gold and in silver the actual utensils. They can't wait. They've got the high priest gown made. They've got the ephod made. They've been waiting. They've got the red heifers over. That's ancient history now. They've been doing red heifers. They've been raising red heifers to purify the temple for over 10 years. They have already the special blue dye that has to be used for the priest robe, and they have found that dye in a sea snail, and Israel is sitting on that all that data. They're waiting. The next time you look at the Temple Mount, forget about the Dome of the Rock Mosque. Forget about it. It's irrelevant and worthless. It has nothing to do with your Bible prophecy. Exactly. I mean, not regarding our argument here tonight. When you're looking at the Temple Mount, to the right of the Dome of the Rock Mosque is a vacant lot that can house perfectly the old temple of old perfectly. They're waiting for the permission to rebuild the temple. My dear friends, listen. I talked with literal men whose life is dedicated to establishing, in fact, they have it, the cornerstone of the temple. They have it in waiting. And they're waiting to lay it down, and they're waiting for permission. When you read a moment ago in Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 to 27, that he shall confirm a covenant with the Jewish people for 1 week. What's one, if you just went through this math problem here, what's 1 week? How long is 1 week? Can you guys put that slide back up real quick, the one with the time? Look at this. Do you remember the prophecy given was 77s are determined for your holy people and your nation, your city. 70 times 7 is 490. Jesus died on the 483rd year.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study called The Parable of the Fig Tree. It's actually a mini-series that takes a very close look at a section in Matthew's Gospel, which addresses events that occur in the end times. In other words, right now and in the very near future. The Parable of the Fig Tree is part of Pastor Jack's fascinating collection of lessons called The Parables of Jesus, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. And don't forget that this series is still available on MP3 CD, The Parables of Jesus. The entire collection of studies is all yours for your gift to Real Radio of any amount. Just visit reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, or call us at 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Now, we have Pastor Jack right here in studio with us. And Pastor Jack, before we go real quick, you go a lot of places on this earth and teach and preach. My favorite, I want to follow you to Hawaii. What's going on?
Yeah, come on, let's go. Actually, we're going to be having a great, great time. We're going to be getting together on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, August 21st to the 23rd, at an event that is being hosted right there in Honolulu, and it is called Summer Lights. And it's going to be a great time. Listen to this, everybody, and I hope that you make time to come on out and join us. Friday night, August 21st, I'm going to have the opportunity to address a gathering regarding an evangelistic message. If you bring someone out to this get-together, we're going to be preaching the gospel. I've got the honor to do that. And we're going to give a great and exciting invitation for your loved ones, your friends, your co-workers to make a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, listen, I got two really good friends, great brothers, who are right here in the Southern California area, mind you. Saturday night, August 22nd, my good friend John Randall. Pastor John's going to be delivering his message, and then a home run hitter when it comes to preaching the gospel. Everybody knows Greg Laurie. Love him. In fact, Davey, Greg Laurie led me to the Lord on June 20th, 1977.
Yep.
Sunday night, August 23rd, Greg Laurie at 6 p.m. is going to be giving a message. So listen, three nights of opportunity for you to bring a friend to hear the gospel. I'll be doing Friday night, John Randall Saturday night, and Greg Laurie Sunday night. Listen, look forward to seeing you there. I would love to meet you in person. Make plans to attend.
And what about that Sunday morning? What's coming up?
You know, I have a cross to bear, a burden to carry.
What's that?
That is, I've got to teach the Word of God, the Bible, at North Shore Christian Fellowship in Haleiwa. Oh, you know, those of you who have never been, you don't quite exactly know what I'm excited about or what Davey's excited about. For those of you who've been to the North Shore of Oahu, North Shore Christian Fellowship is a great gathering. I'll be there Sunday morning, August 23rd. At the old Haleiwa Gym, and that's on King Kamehameha Highway, in the little village, the town of Haleiwa, and we're going to have a great time. Come on out. Service time is 9 a.m., and again, I would love to meet you, love to hang out, and bring someone. Bring someone to that service, and if you're in the North Shore, you know exactly where that is, but if you're in Waikiki area or Mililani Town, just a short drive, would love to see you there. Again, come on out. August 23rd, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. at North Shore Christian Fellowship.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ
and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.